is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
For many years, doing ecological research or conservation work involved decades of fieldwork, many, many years of sitting in tents gathering long-term data about the changes in populations or individuals in an area. Now, that kind of work is incredibly important and still goes on today, but there is another way of trying to monitor large change, which has been gaining in popularity in recent years, and that's remote sensing. We're talking about things like satellite data or images gathered from planes. What this does is allow scientists to study large changes of populations or sometimes even individuals without impacting or, in fact, getting close at all to the things that you're studying. Now I'm walking through rainy Regent's Park in the heart of London, the UK's capital, on my way to the Zoological Society of London's headquarters at London Zoo. I'm meeting Natalie Petarelli, who not only works here, but she's the editor-in-chief of a relatively new journal specifically looking into remote sensing.
Hello.
Hi, I'm here to meet Natalie Petarelli.
She's not in this building, she's in another, but she's not.
So I'm Natalie Petarelli and I work at the Institute of Zoology, which is the research branch of the Zoological Society of London.
You are the editor-in-chief of a relatively new journal. Tell me about that.
So basically the journal is trying to highlight those developments that use remote sensing technology, and by that I mean satellite data or camera traps or bioacoustics, which is using sensors that capture sounds to derive information about the natural world and how that can inform ecology and conservation.
I'm quite interested in what kind of remote sensing you use in your work. You know, what kind of thing do you focus on?
So I use a lot of satellite data. So some satellite, they work a bit like a camera on board a spaceship in a way that they take information the way your camera would take information. But there are also some sensors that use active technology, so a sensor that would send a beam of energy and basically use the information that comes back to derive information about the environmental features. I have played a bit with camera traps, but mostly my work is about use of satellite data.
People may think that satellites are fairly exclusive things, they're owned by countries and so on, but actually there's a lot of satellite data that's gathered which is open access. People can access it freely.
If your idea of satellite data is something like Google Maps or Google Earth, then that's not free. But if you think something like Landsat or the new Copernicus program from the European Space Agency, then all of that's free. And that covers the whole world, and anyone can basically download the information and have a go at analyzing them.
Now, that's a really key point there, I think. Anyone can download the information, but this is a lot of data you're talking about. How do you go about analyzing that amount of data to learn anything meaningful?
Not only is the amount of data, but actually it does take a bit of expertise and skills to derive the information. What has changed over the years in parallel to the opening of all those free data is also that the software, the capability to analyze those data has changed massively. And a lot of software are now open source, which means you can download them for free. And the capacity and the capabilities of those software have increased massively too.
How granular can research get when it comes to remote sensing data? You know, what's your units, I suppose, you can get down to?
Up until 5 years ago, you were talking so freely available data, around 50 to 100 meter. But then it started to go down and down, and now we're looking at 10 to 15 meters. There's even more interesting stories. So there's been a team in the US, I believe, that used some hyperspectral information. So hyperspectral, you have to imagine it's a method that look at the reflectance, so that the energy that comes back from the Earth in very small band on the electromagnetic spectrum. It literally captures the signature of species, but sometimes of genotypes. So there's a guy that looked at different tree, a team that looked at different tree and showed that different genotype of those aspen tree could actually be detected using this satellite information.
And as well as remote sensing from satellites, there's also remote sensing from planes, for example.
Absolutely, yeah. The same with drones, actually. It's not just planes. So drones have become quite appealing to a lot of conservation biologists and ecologists. A famous example is someone using drones to pick up orangutan nest in tropical forest.
Tell me a little bit about who else remote sensing data can be useful for.
Climate people, to start with. A lot of it is by insurers, and anyone that is interested in deploying resources when faced with catastrophes, so drought and the agriculture. They can detect things before you can actually visually see it on the ground, so you can there's an early warning system for drought. In terms of health, you can use satellite information to predict diseases. There's quite a lot. It
certainly sounds like a lot to get your teeth into.
Yeah, no, it is. And that's why I think that we are far from understanding what we can do.
Now, this is really exciting data, and it seems like it's gathering and growing in scope all the time. My question, I suppose, is what's the point in going out into the field anymore? Why don't we start doing all of our research using this remote sensing data?
No, I never asked that. there's two points to this. One, you cannot match the reliability, accuracy that you get from ground data. Those data, they help people like me that use satellite data make the most of those satellite data, because you need ground validation, you need information to calibrate this satellite information to make it more useful. The second thing is that there's a lot of stuff you can't see using satellite data. Imagine you work in the Congo, your satellite will pick up your canopy but nothing beyond it. So all those animals, all those plants that live under the canopy, you would not see. So there is a huge opportunity for working together here, not to compete.
That was Natalie Petarelli from the Institute of Zoology in London. To find out more about her journal, Google its full title, Remote Sensing in Ecology and Conservation. You can also find out more about remote sensing techniques in an article published last week in Nature's Toolbox section. Search for that over at nature.com/nature.